Throughout this whole entire year so far, I've been talking about the practical implications of three essential parts of Christian living, and that is faith back in January, February, March, and then love from April, May, June, and through July. And this last month and a couple of weeks into September, I'm going to be talking to you about how incredible and important hope is for the life of the believer. And so today I want to talk a little bit about living hope, a living hope, that words that I think sometimes we hear but we really don't understand. It's my task, my job as a pastor to help us to understand when the Bible speaks specifically about a context that I think that each and every one of us as believers need to understand. So I'm going to do that. So take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter, back in the New Testament, near the end, back at just behind a couple other books, if you know what I mean. 1 Peter, chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. Please, stand in honor of God's word. I know you just sit down, but you know what? When it comes to God's word, I'd love for you to all stand and honor that for just a moment, and then I'll let you sit down. 1 Peter, chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. This is what the word of the Lord says to us today. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a what? Living hope. Now, if you have your Bibles, if you're one of those that likes to take notes, I want you to circle that so that at some point maybe you can come back to that and understand that that is a key phrase in this whole section of Scripture. Let me back up. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. In all of this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you have to suffer grief of all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Bow with me for a moment. Thanks, Jesus, for this amazing section of Scripture. Now, Lord, as I pray every week, we need your help. I need your help. I pray that your Holy Spirit would come and anoint us, not only the Word, but hearing the Word. Let it be truth. Let it pierce our souls if necessary. But let us be the type of people who will receive it, will act upon it in obedience to you. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Hope is one of those attributes that sometimes is hard to find. I know that if you are listening a lot to what's going on in our world these days and have been kind of keeping track of how people are feeling about the conditions of our world, it's easy for us to get this idea that a lot of people are living life in a very hopeless manner. It's very prevalent in these days to say, well, I don't know whether I'm going to have a better future, and or I don't know what this world is going to be like, or I don't know what our country is going to be like. We're hearing a lot of that language, and folks, that type of language is really an attribute of people who do not have a strong and certain hope. I'm even hearing it in relationships when you talk on TV or in other places where people say about marriage, you know, my parents were married 53 years. I hope just to get to 5. And so there's this idea that nothing is permanent, that even marriage is no longer permanent. And one time one person on TV said, if I had to live with the same man for 25 years, I'd go crazy. 28 years. What do you say about that? Yesterday, 28 years, right there. But the reality is we are beginning to see society operating without a consistent, permanent, foundational hope. The Bible tells us that without hope, the heart grows sick. And if you know, if you take that apart in Proverbs and you read into that, you'll understand that hope is what gives us the confidence to be able to operate every day. And without it, it makes our heart grow sick, and we do not look at anything in a positive manner. It affects everything about us. It affects our life, it affects our relationships, it affects the very essence of our being. Hope is essential. I read a story of this last week that just moved me. On December 17th, 1927, a U.S. submarine was patrolling off the Atlantic coast when it accidentally collided with a U.S. Coast Guard cutter. And I don't know if they didn't have radar back in those days, or I don't know if the guy at the helm was just not paying any attention. But they ran into it, and the submarine was severely damaged, the story goes, and sank and came to the rest on the floor of the Atlantic about 100 feet down. A rescue ship was dispatched at the scene of the collision. Immediately, the divers dove and investigated and found that there was a gaping large hole in the side of the submarine and no signs of life. It took a while for them to get down there, and so they assumed that all the submariners had just drowned. Trying to do their best to maybe to find and recover bodies, they went back down the next day. And as the divers went down and began to survey the situation, they heard tapping coming from inside the damaged vessel. The tapping turned out to be Morse code, the story goes. And from the signals, the divers learned that there were six men who had still survived the crash. The last message they tapped out in Morse code was this: "Is there hope? Please hurry, please." One of the divers tapped back, "Yes, there is hope. Get ready to be rescued." After this great tragedy, one of the submariners said in response to that, there was great celebration inside, and they had for the first time in hours the confidence to know that they would have enough air, they would have enough supplies, and they would have all they needed to be rescued. Now, can you imagine if somehow in some way this world had that type of hope? Somehow, in some way, we could kind of tap in Morse code to all of our culture and to all the people who are operating now with a sense of hopelessness. There is hope, and here's the reason why. Because Jesus came, he died, and he rose again. Because of that, because of the fact that he rose again, we have a living hope. Now, I want to try to bring this out to you because I think it's really important that we understand that what it means to have a living hope. Peter, bringing this out to us, uses that word very specifically, but there's a build-up to it, and then there's a conclusion to it, and I want to bring it all to you. So take your Bibles and look back at it, if you would, first. Number one, let me repeat verse 3 again to you. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The first thing that we need to take from this scripture is that this hope, the foundation, does not come from us, but from an eternal source, God Himself. Did you see it? Look at the scripture. Don't take it from me. Look at the scripture. Praise be to who? The God and Father of our Lord Jesus in His great mercy. Now, I'm going to get to that in just a moment. Here's the great news, folks, and I want you to just soak this up like a sponge. It does not begin with us. This hope that I'm talking about today does not begin with us and our self-adequacies and our self-confidence and our self-competence. It doesn't have anything to do with us. Praise God. Amen. It doesn't have anything to do with us. It's not. And here's the thing, it's not dependent upon our circumstances. Oh man, I just wish that would sink in a little bit. Hope is not dependent upon our circumstances. Wow. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. When you're talking about a living hope, let everything go crazy and wild. It doesn't change the fact that God has given us a living hope in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that everything's peachy keen and wonderful. And I'm not saying that when you begin to work and operate in this living hope, that everything's just going to work itself out and everything's going to resolve and the world's going to be wonderful and there's going to be world peace and never any problems. That's not going to be the case. As long as we live in a fallen world, there's going to be trouble. In fact, Jesus himself said it, right? He said, in this world you will have what? Trouble. He proclaims to you today that in the world there's always going to be trouble. But the hope, this living hope that we have, does not depend on our circumstances. It also does not rely on our own personal abilities. Now, some of us are more sanguine than others. We kind of look at life a little bit happier. Some of you are a little bit more pessimistic than others. Don't be pointing fingers. That's not appropriate, okay? Some of us just seem to always note the bad. Some of us seem to look at the good. That's just the way we're made up. But guess what, folks? It doesn't depend on how we even look at life as to whether there's hope. Hope is a living hope. And it does not depend upon us. It does not depend upon our circumstances. It does not depend on our abilities. And this is a crazy one. As I studied this, what I understand is that it also doesn't rely on the level of our faith. Did everybody hear me? It doesn't depend on the level of our faith. Today you could be saying to me, Pastor, I am drier. Oh, I can't even think of a good illustration except maybe some flowers in my front yard. Don't know what happened. I have to take it back to Home Depot. They are dry. You say, Pastor, my faith is so dry today. Good news. The hope is not reliant on the level of your faith. You say to me, Pastor, oh, God is awesome. He's filling me. I'm in his word. I'm praying every day. I'm overwhelmed with his presence. Awesome. It doesn't depend on the level of your faith. That hope is a living hope, and it applies at every level to every person, no matter who you are. It comes, that hope comes from an eternal source. It starts with God. It is fulfilled in God. It ends with God. And I like to look at it this way. That incredible gift that God gives us, He gives it to imperfect people like you and me. Let's look in the mirror. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, we have this treasure, speaking of faith, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Can we just take the word power out and put hope in there and listen to it this way? We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing hope is from God and not from us. It works both ways. This eternal living hope comes from an eternal source. It comes from God, and it is not dependent on where you are today. Praise his holy name. You're drier than the bush in my front yard. That hope is for you. You feel the very presence of God overwhelming you. That hope is for you. It doesn't matter who we are or where we are, our circumstances. It doesn't matter about our abilities, the way we think, the way we look at life. It doesn't matter about our level of faith. That hope is a living hope. And I'm going to break this open in just a minute as to why this works the way it does. The second thing that I want you to grab a hold of today, and looking back at the scriptures, if you would, just to note this, it is an expression of his great mercy. And what that means literally is this: God knows you're having trouble. God knows you don't get it. God knows you don't have everything together. Would anybody like to say amen about that? Okay. God knows you're human. By the way, he created you. In fact, the Bible says that he knows everything about it. He even knows a word before it ever gets to the tip of your tongue. He knows the way you've made. And by the way, you were made beautifully. Go ahead and pat yourself on the shoulder. Say, I was made pretty. God understands the fact that you don't measure up. God understands that we are not perfect. God understands that we can't get it. And so the Bible says in his mercy, he responds to us by giving us this great hope. He knows you're not going to get it. And in his mercy, the word mercy, if you if you know, mercy is the idea of understanding and identifying with the predicament someone's in. God understands what we're going through. He understands our predicament. He understands that we don't get it. He understands that we're not perfect. And yet, that hope that God gives, that living hope, is given to us with the idea that He understands. In His mercy, He gives us a living hope. How important is that for us to grab a hold of? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5 say this word. Because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by, say it with me, grace you were saved. What is that saying? You're in your sin. God looks down. He identifies with your calamity. And He says, I love you enough. And in my mercy, I'm going to give it to you anyway. Praise His holy name. I think, to use an old term, Reuben Welch used to say that all the time. Thank you. I think that we often, within the context of the church, think we have to add up. We have to come to a certain point. We have to reach a certain level in order for God to respond and to react. I think that is a lie from the evil one. Because all that I read says that God, who is rich in mercy, even while we were dead in our transgressions, He begins to operate by giving us what we need. That tells me you don't have to reach to any certain level. God's going to do it because He loves you. And He made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. This whole expression of this hope is given to us because He has such amazing mercy, identifying with our circumstances and desiring for us to experience the best of His love, even when we're not doing what we're supposed to do. Third, and I'm not even to the sermon yet. This is still introduction, so just hold on with me just a minute. Third, look back at the scripture. You got to know that I'm bringing it from there. Third is this. Not only does it come from eternal source, it starts with God. Not only is it a part of His great mercy, but it's used in a vehicle, and that vehicle is a new birth. Now, those of us who've been around the church understand that term, the new birth. We say sometimes, I've been born again. And what that means is we have an old life and we have a new life. And the old life comes to a point where we realize, that we need Jesus. And we pray to invite Jesus in our heart. And as we invite Jesus in our heart and we're forgiven of our sins, we are ushered into a new birth. Something dynamic happens. Something beautiful happens. Something spiritual happens to our lives where we begin to have the flesh of the presence of God inside of our lives. It's a new birth. In fact, that's the reason why we do baptism. Is that, and I want to say this, that if you've never been baptized, come and see me. I want to make sure that everybody experiences baptism, because the baptism is a symbol of this new birth. We die to ourselves and we are raised in new birth to Jesus. Jesus illustrates this back in the New Testament, when He met a man by the name of Nicodemus, who came to Him at night, the Bible says, and inquiring in Him about eternal life. And Nicodemus, being a Pharisee, they believed in eternal life, and the Sadducees didn't believe in the eternal life. And there was constantly, history tells us, there's constantly a back and forth argument about whether there's heaven and eternal life. And Nicodemus wanted to believe in eternal life, and did so, at least in his head. And he comes and inquires to Jesus about it, and Jesus' response to him is, you must be born again. And Nicodemus responds, well, wait a minute, how can we go back into our mother to be born a second time? And Jesus says, no, that's not what it's all about. There's a physical birth, which you become a member of the human race, but you must be born again spiritually, and so become a member of the family of God, a spiritual rebirth. Now, let me just say something I think is really important. And I believe this with all of my heart. I believe the essence of the real person is really the soul. Can I just say that as good as you look in your body, that's not the real you? Some of you might say, yeah, amen. I had a young lady in a youth group early in my ministry that I think my dad preached about this, about 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the fact that you get a new body. Like unto Christ's glorious body. She came to me afterwards. She said, "What your dad says is true?" And I said, "Yeah, that's what the Bible says." And she went, "Oh." Now, you need to know she's a little bit on the portly large size. "Oh, I can't wait because Jesus had such a great body." I don't know where she got that, but okay. That's what you call hope, you know what I'm saying? That's what you call hope. But here's the reality. It's ushered in. Get this. It doesn't matter what your particular is right now. It comes from internal source. It's not reliant on our abilities. It's not reliant on faith. It is expressed by His great mercy, but it's ushered in and given freedom by the new birth. In other words, I think I can say it this way. When you're born again, that hope is released in your life. It's there always. But in the new birth is released. All right, let me get to the sermon. It comes from an eternal source. It starts with God. It has nothing to do with us. It comes as an expression of His great mercy, and it's ushered in by the new birth. Now, here it is. What does it mean to have a living hope? Well, simply this. It is present, it is complete, it is personable, and it is available at all times. Let me repeat those four things. A living hope means that it is present. Now, that word is bigger than just the idea that it's standing around it. It means it's all-encompassing of your condition. It is present. It is complete. There's nothing that you need but that. There's no other gift. There's no other additive. There's nothing else that needs to be done. When we're talking a living hope, we're talking about a present, complete, purposeful in that it applies to every part of your life and available at all times. No matter how good you feel, how bad you feel, whatever condition you find yourself, whether in the deepest slums or in prison or out in the battlefield or at home looking at your check register with zeros in it, whatever it may be, living hope means that it is present at all times. It is complete. You don't have to add anything to it. It is purposeful. It applies to every circumstance of your life, and it is available at all time. In youth ministry, I had a boy by the name of Jack in my youth group. And Jack is, he's got some handicaps to him. He's not the smartest guy in the world. But whenever we would go places as a youth pastor, I'd always make myself available to those kids in the youth group that really didn't have a lot of friends, and Jack really didn't have a lot of friends. In fact, Jack didn't have any friends. The great thing about it is he still goes to that same church today. He's in his 40s now. And he tries to keep friending me on Facebook, but I just don't want to go there anyway. He would follow me everywhere I went. So we went to Disneyland one time, and I'm walking around, and every time I turned around, guess who was right behind me? Jack. I go over here, turn around, guess who's right behind me? Jack, come on, these guys getting it. You're not getting it. I go get in line for a ride, guess who's behind me? I go to the restroom, guess who's behind me? I didn't like that too much, but wherever I went, I knew that Jack would be there. I knew that Jack would be there. Now, that may not be the greatest illustration in the world, but I want to say to all of you believers today who have been ushered into the family of God through this new birth, you can have the confidence to know that God is going to be there because He is alive and well today. You can operate every single day, go through whatever you have to go through, do whatever you have to do with the absolute confidence that God will never leave you or forsake you. That's what it means to have a living hope. And you need to practice the presence of God. You need to practice it until you really get it. No matter where you are or what you're doing, God is always with you. He is present. He is complete. He is purposeful. He is available. That living hope has been expressed, and you cannot block it. You cannot get away from it. It always will be there for you. Now, Peter adds a couple of extra things to this. He likens it as an inheritance. Now, I've never had to go through the whole inheritance aspect of it yet. But what I'm told is, whatever the will says, when the inheritance is given, they call it irrevocable. The inheritance is irrevocable. Now, sometimes people don't do with it what they're supposed to do. I understand that. But the purpose of the expression in an inheritance is that it's irrevocable. Peter says that this living hope is an inheritance. Get this. Look at the scripture. Look at your Bible. Come on. It's an inheritance. These three things are incredible. That can never perish, never spoil, and never fade. Praise his name. And who's keeping it? Are you keeping it? Look at this, the scripture. It's kept in heaven for you. God is protecting this living hope so that nothing, absolutely nothing, can take it away. It's present, it's complete, it's purposeful, it's available. It can never perish, never spoil, never fail. It can, in not perishing, there's nothing in time or eternity that can touch it or destroy it because God's keeping it safe. It can never spoil. It can never be polluted by anything, nothing, including yourself, by the way. And it can never fade. It isn't subject to the wasting effects of times. It is absolutely eternal. Folks, this is amazing stuff. And I somehow hope and just pray that you will practice living in this living hope so that no matter what comes in this world, no matter what comes in our society, no matter what looks like in your checkbook, no matter what your kids do or what happens in your marriage or your life, it doesn't matter. That living hope is available for you. Always present, always complete, always purposeful, always available. It can never perish, never spoil, never fade. It's kept by God. It starts with his work, is expressed by his mercy in his work, and it's held in eternity by his work. It has nothing to do with us. How many times have I said that today? Has everybody got that? Let me say it one more time. Why don't you say it with me? It has nothing to do with us. Except one thing. We're ushered into the new birth so that it is released in our life. And all of this ultimately is qualified by the fact that it all stems upon the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. By the way, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Here's what all this means, folks. When by faith we place our lives in God's hand, when we come to that place of new birth and we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and have been born again, he gives us the living hope and it is released into our lives. He expresses it at the very beginning. He gives it to us in mercy and he holds it fast in eternity for all of us so that we can live under it no matter what the circumstances. So often, I watch as some of you in this church really struggle with where you are in your faith. I think today that there are some people here that would say, I'm just not certain I'm going to get to heaven. And the reason why you say that is you feel like you're not good enough. Well, guess what? Join the crowd. None of us are. That's why this is so incredible. That's why this living hope is so amazing. Because it starts with God, it's empowered by God, and it is held by God. And it has, I'll say it again, nothing to do with us. That should give us absolute confidence. It should enable us to live courageously. It should help us to live patiently, even through trials and tribulations. And it actually should empower us to live every day joyfully. Why? Because we know God is in control. Praise his holy name. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with what's coming. I'm okay with what's in. I'm okay with my circumstances. Because God's in charge. He started it. He empowers its release through the new birth, and he's held it in heaven so that nothing can get to it. It can never perish, spoil, or fade. I'm still a little bit skittish about things from time to time. I've lived long enough to know that people fail. Last summer, we had a wonderful opportunity with my family to visit Washington, D.C. It's always been my dream, Suzanne and I's dream, to take our kids back and show them all the memorials. And I know I've talked about this before. And I actually started working on this trip more than a year before, making phone calls, checking in at different where we're going to stay and that kind of stuff. And so I was looking for a hotel out of New York City because we wanted to go into the city and see the Statue of Liberty and 9/11 Memorial and all that kind of stuff. And so places in New York was just absolutely ridiculously expensive. So I knew that I was going to have to find a place outside of town. And I found this place in Dover, New Jersey. That's about 35, 40 minutes outside of New York City, so it was just perfect. And by the way, New Jersey is a beautiful place. I mean, just green as all get out. It gets a little hot and humid in the summer, but it is a beautiful place. I had the opportunity to spend some time there a few years ago working on my doctoral program. But it's an amazing place. And so I made this reservation. And then all of a sudden, the day kind of changed, and so I had to call back. And in order to change the reservation, I had to cancel the first reservation. This is crazy. I think it was through Expedia.com or something like that. I had to cancel the first registration and make a new registration. So I did. So, and all this was back last November, a full like 8 months ahead of my trip. And so along about May, I call back, you know, in my skittishness or whatever you want to call it, call back just to make sure. And I'm told on the other end of the line that my reservations had been canceled. And I said, what? She said, yeah, I have here. There's no the reservation had been canceled. Well, we started digging through stuff, and yes, they had been canceled, but they had a new reservation. So in other words, when my name came up, the first thing that came up was that everything was canceled, right? But then if they looked just like the next page, they saw the new reservation. So everything seemed to be fine in May. So the closer and closer we're getting to leave for our trip, I call the hotel back. I get the same thing. I'm sorry, sir, but it looks like your reservation has been canceled. And this is about 3 weeks before the trip, and I'm getting a little nervous. And then I said, well, last time I called, okay, they show that, but look at the next page. Oh, that's right. Next page shows you've got this registration. Right. So about a week before we get there, I call and check on it again, and I get the same thing. So They assured me at that point, yes, your registration is right here, this type of stuff. And I think I was dealing with the same lady every time. Because after we went on our trip, we went into Washington, D.C. and stayed at the same hotel but a different chain, and it was a mess. Okay, let me just tell you, it was very difficult. It was a nice, clean place, but it wasn't very comfortable at all. So thinking about this now, okay, same company, same reservations, but so small it was like living in a matchbox. The next morning I call Dover, New Jersey at this inn that we had booked, and the lady that I had spoke to three or four times now recognized my voice. And I asked, I just want to confirm one more time that our reservation is okay. And the great thing was she didn't say, well, it says your reservation was canceled. But these words she said to me, this is amazing. Sir, I hate it when they call me sir. You know, it makes me feel old. Anyway, sir, we have your reservation. It's confirmed. All the details are in place, she told me. You will not have any trouble when you check in. You know what? And she knew I was concerned about it. Okay, after the fourth call, she knew. And so when we got there, everything was perfect. Reservation was confirmed. The details were in place. We did not have any trouble checking in. What a blessing. Now, the confidence to know that they had it under control means everything to me. Do you know what I'm saying? To be able to drive, it took us a long time because the Google Maps or whatever it was, that our GPS took us on the back roads up through Pennsylvania. I don't know, it was trying to keep us away from Newark, New Jersey, I understand that, but we're going all over the back roads. I'm already feeling a little bit concerned, just ask my family. We actually had to stop at a gas station to figure out where we were. When we got there, pulled into the parking lot, found our place, got through the front door, I had the confidence to know that it was going to be just fine. A living hope is supposed to empower the believer to live confidently in this world regardless of the circumstances that you face. Because it has nothing to do with us, but everything to do with Him. It's in His hands. Let it go. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? Father, what a beautiful truth this is in your word. I know the only thing keeping us from experiencing this is our doubt. And even then, Father, I know that it has already been expressed, it's been given. And so I pray, Almighty God, that you would bring us all in. Through that new birth, let us experience, release this great hope that we have, this living hope. To everybody that's here today, no matter what their circumstances are, no matter what they're facing today, tomorrow, next week, next year, no matter what, Father, let them live in the empowerment of this living, present, available, capable, amazing hope. So that they would experience your best. Let them know you're in charge. Let us believe that. Let us believe that you are sovereign, you are in charge. You're taking care of it. You're guarding it. It is always going to be there. Let us put our lives under that context. Let us live as victorious believers. Let us experience that eternal hope. Bless your people today with this truth. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Christ in me. Just stand and sing with us, Lord, I need.